A big thing for me was seeing the phoniness in other people. Then I thought, oh my God, that's probably because I'm so phony myself. I really sat with that one. I certainly know there are times when I am not as real as I could be. Lurking in my shadow, though, was not a whole bag of phoniness so much as the fear of being labeled phony. The fear, if not acknowledged, can be just as destructive as the real thing. So often I find myself becoming angry at someone, and then a few minutes later I find myself doing the same thing to someone else. I'm driving along and someone comes annoyingly close to me. I get angry. Then I am lost in my own thoughts, and someone honks at me, and I discover I'm dangerously close to the yellow line. Whoops! I just did to someone else what I got angry about a few moments ago. As with any other addiction or fault, you need to own it first and then embrace it as part of yourself before it can be let go, healed, and transformed. You are encouraged to bring these hidden things into consciousness and through grace accept and embrace those unacceptable parts of yourself. As you are doing that, you begin the process of healing and transformation. When you set yourself to the task of unearthing and healing the shadow, you no longer have to project your faults onto others. You are relieved of a huge burden of judgment and wasted energy. The Gnostic Gospel of Thomas states, quote, Jesus said, "If you bring forth what is in you, what you bring forth will save you. If you do not bring forth what is in you, what you do not bring forth will destroy you." End quote. Bring forth your shadow. Bring forth all those unacceptable things and allow God to heal and transform them. Do not let them decay and fester inside of you. Be aware of how you project your own faults and your own dislikes onto others. Neither judge nor condemn yourself for this, but be aware of what needs to be made whole within you. Offer it to the Father to be healed and transformed. I never thought I had much anger in me. What I think happened was I observed my family, and it seemed as if anger was usually used to hurt or control somebody, and anger was never resolved. Anger hung around like nuclear waste. It had a half-life of 50,000 years. People would say something like, "Okay, that's it. We'll never bring that up again." I knew, though, that if someone ran out of ammunition, in the next argument, that thing, like an old black arrow, would be shot off into someone's gut. I disliked anger so much and was afraid of it that I got convinced and convinced myself that I did not have any. Of course, it all got stuck in my shadow. I was both unconscious of my anger and in denial about it. What happened then was my anger would keep coming out in various ways. You can deny your shadow, but it's still going to express itself. My unacknowledged anger would come out as passive-aggressive behavior, cynicism, and probably worst of all, depression. It took some time, therapy, and healing to be okay with my anger. I realized practically everybody gets angry sometimes, and that the expression of anger does not have to be harmful or destructive. As soon as you discover yourself being judgmental, you can turn that judgmental thought around and say, "What is going on with me that produces such an angry, defensive reaction?" Your ways of using judgment can teach you much about yourself if you are willing to look. Judgment shows up in its most destructive, potent, and negative form when you are judging yourself. Think of what you do to yourself with your self-criticism. Can you imagine what it would be like to talk to another human being the way you talk to yourself? Does God think of you the way you think of yourself? What is God thinking of you right now? Questions such as these will halt your negative thinking. Questions such as these can bring you to the realization that any negative thoughts, any thoughts at all that put you down or make you less than a divine, unconditionally loved child of God, are not God thoughts. They are ego thoughts. They are not thoughts God is thinking about you and therefore have no truth. These ego thoughts of negativity have no reality. Well, they only have the reality or the energy you choose to give them. If the nature of God is love, and it is, then God can only think loving thoughts, even about you. I recalled a moment a few years ago when I was feeling somewhat down and depressed. I was lonely, feeling unlovable. I began to pray, and the thought came to me, I wonder what God thinks of me. I was almost afraid to ask. I mean, what if he told me the same things I was thinking? As risky as it felt, I prayed, God, what do you think about me? I got an answer immediately. I just connected with these words inside of me. You are my son, and I love you. A weight was lifted. I felt more whole and much lighter. Then, of course, my ego chimed in by saying, oh, you just made that up. But I knew I did not. The answer to my prayer was too perfect. It was too immediate for me to conjure up. At that moment, I was connected with the truth of God's thought within me. You are my son, and I love you. Another question you can ask yourself is, what is it that I am still holding on to about myself that is getting in the way of my true perception of beauty, especially the beauty inside of me? Judge not, to Christ in training, means keep the focus on yourself in a loving way. Accept, embrace, and release old thoughts, old patterns, old beliefs that no longer serve you. One of the most exquisite and profound teachings on the subject of non-judgment is Jesus' parable of the publican and the Pharisee. You might recall that the Pharisee went to the front of the synagogue and proclaimed in his prayer, I thank you, God, that I am not like other men, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pay my tithes of all that I get, and on and on. The publican, a tax collector, on the other hand, stayed in the back of the synagogue and prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus asked the crowd, which was made up of many Pharisees, which man's prayer was justified. Of course, there was probably a lot of squirming and shuffling of feet, because it was obvious that the publican was much more honest in his prayer. Now, here is the lesson. You hear or read that story, and without thinking, you say to yourself, thank God I am not like that overblown, pompous Pharisee. Look, you have gotten caught up in judgment again without even realizing it. And so it is that you are directed back to looking at yourself, not to condemn, but to grow. You shine the light on yourself to get out of your old destructive patterns. Only you can do that for yourself in cooperation with grace. As Jesus said so many times to those he had healed, go and sin no more. In other words, be aware of what contributed to bringing you to this state. Be aware and choose differently. When you are in a place of non-judgment, there is no need for forgiveness. For in non-judgment, you see only the beauty in all things and approach all things with love. But in your limited perception, you will judge, you will do harm, you will be unloving. The corrective tool for being all too human in our judgment is forgiveness. Forgiveness, of course, is also another way of letting go of judgment. As mentioned before, Peter asked Jesus, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Peter probably thought he was going way beyond what would be expected of anyone. But Jesus replied, I do not say to you seven times, but 70 times 7. In other words, you are asked to forgive always and forever. Forgiveness has no limits. Another simple yet profound example of the forgiveness of Jesus is found in the story of the woman taken in adultery. There was a woman who was brought to Jesus as one of the many tests from the scribes and Pharisees. After Jesus wrote with his finger on the ground, everyone left. Jesus asked the woman, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? Does anyone condemn you?" She replied, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again." Jesus even forgave those who crucified him unjustly, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He set a goal about forgiveness that indicates to all of us how far we have to go. As Christ in training, you realize that nobody is doing anything to you. Life happens, and people can be mean and cruel and hurtful, but that is their stuff, not yours. You certainly do not need to be a victim, nor do you need to think that everything that goes on in life is about you. A teacher once suggested that you look within and notice what is bothering or annoying you, and observe who or what you are blaming. Instead of projecting all those feelings outside, notice what is going on inside of you that needs healing. Let us say, for instance, you are in a noisy city and you're used to the quiet of the country. The city could be very disturbing to you. That is understandable. But the city is not doing anything to you. It is just being the city. You are the one who is upset. The question is, if you choose to stay in the city, how are you going to deal with the upset? Complaining about the city might deflect some of your bad feelings, but it certainly is not going to change anything. Look inside yourself and realize and respect your need of quiet and solitude. Help yourself to find that space and time even within the noisy city. The city will become much less of a burden, and you will be much more at peace. And when you step back from that learning experience, you will realize the city has not changed at all, but you have. It is raining. The rain is not doing anything to you. It is just being the rain. You drop the broccoli. The broccoli did not do anything to you. It was just obeying the law of gravity. I thought about the times in my life when I felt God was doing something to me. I went back in my mind to a pivotal learning in my life, my mother's funeral. I was just coming to terms with my father's death. He passed quietly in a coma, which I guess is like sleep. Dad was alcoholic, and I deeply know some of his pain and confusion with life. He seemed to let go gently, which was different for him. I was not physically present at his passing, but I knew when it happened. But it was not his death I was dealing with that day. It was my mother's. She had died just a couple of days ago, and I was coming out of shock, feeling both anger and sadness welling up inside of me like a bubble ready to burst, and an anger and sadness descending on me like a cold, wet cloth smothering me. I walked outside the funeral home with its indirect lighting and muted colors into the grayest day I have ever experienced. There is nothing grayer than a gray day in Brooklyn in March. The sky was gray, the buildings were gray, the sidewalks were gray, the streets were gray, even the air was gray. I was still stunned by her passing. Mom was healthy and working through her grief over Dad's passing. She had just moved to a new place, close to friends and family. In fact, she had moved back into her old neighborhood where she grew up, where I grew up as well. I had just talked with her on the phone, and she was pleased with her new place, even though she had not settled in yet. It was fixed up just the way she wanted it, and she would be moving in completely in a few days. I could tell she had found a home. We were even talking about going to Ireland that summer. 2 days after talking with my mother, my aunt called and told me my mom had died that evening. She had a case of the flu. The doctor thought she might have a slight touch of pneumonia and wanted her to stay overnight in the hospital. During her time there, she developed a blood clot and died suddenly. I stepped outside into the gray outside, confused, hurt, sad, and angry. I looked up to the bleak sky that seemed to be a mirror of my own grayness that day. I thought I believed in a kind and a loving God. This loving God was in stark contrast to today's feelings of doubt, hurt, and despair. I screamed to the gray heavens, to this God I had my doubts about. Why do you make me hurt so? As happens sometimes with prayer, an answer came immediately in my mind. Now there were no voices and no thunderclaps. I just knew the words. Jerry, the voice said, I am not hurting you or making you hurt. You hurt because you chose to love. You hurt because you chose to love. What a revelation! I chose to love my mother, my father. They were no longer physically present to me, and therefore I hurt. That was a moment of deep surrender, of letting go, but also a moment of embracing the entire situation. I had to let go of blaming God for my hurt and my pain, but I also had to embrace the pain as my own and realize that it was not just pain, but also a reflection of heartfelt love as well. As Gibran said so wonderfully in the Prophet, the self-same well from which your laughter rises was oftentimes filled with your tears. How else can it be? Forgiveness in its most complete form is not blaming anyone for anything. It is accepting responsibility for whatever is going on with you and opening yourself up to the healing and transformational power of God. If someone cuts you off in traffic, are they doing something to you? They are not even thinking about you. They are wrapped up in what they are doing, what they need to do, or where they need to go. You have no idea if they are hurrying home to a sick child or a six-pack, and either way, it is none of your business. You have no idea if they are hurt, angry, confused, lost, or just in a bad mood. You are affected by what they do, certainly, but they are not doing anything to you. You choose how much you are going to be affected by the actions of others. I had to laugh at myself. I had this absurd image of Jesus getting cut off in traffic and having a fit. I couldn't imagine Jesus or Buddha or Gandhi or Mother Teresa flipping someone the bird for cutting him or her off. See, they realize that nobody is doing anything to them. They simply recognize the other person as Christ in training, just like they are, and they move on. There is no ego attachment here. They have learned to let be. One of the ways forgiveness comes about is to recognize and have the recognition of the emotional price your anger and your resentment takes out on you. That is what you are letting go of. You are letting go of anger and resentment and its emotional burden. You realize that by holding on to these things, you are punishing yourself, not the one that hurt you. Christ in training is constantly learning how to let go. You are continually encouraged to release anger, fear, pain, and self-righteousness, and the idea that it is all about you. When you release all of that, there is less energy given to the ego and more to the soul. You also have let a lot more room inside of you grow for love and compassion. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you only, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." As Christ in training, you are always learning to bless all of those whom you encounter. All those you touch and who touch you are Christ in training. I have no idea what their lessons are or what they are learning. I bless them just as I desire to be blessed. There are many misnomers about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not about allowing someone to be irresponsible, and it certainly is not about you being a victim. You will notice Jesus was never a victim and never irresponsible, but always forgiving. Forgiveness has nothing to do with the other person and everything to do with you. So statements such as, "They don't deserve to be forgiven," are meaningless. The real questions are, what are you holding on to, and what are you getting out of it?